Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. We are live in the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. We've got Jim Trotter coming up next segment. You know how I want to start hour number one or hour number two by talking about how I ended hour number one. You know, normally I do three interviews, or except on Friday we do two interviews. I do the interview, I thank the guest, I say have a great day, hope we can do it again soon, and then I move on to the next thing. And I don't spend much time recapping it, because frankly, and no offense to anybody, you know, rare is the interviewee who is so captivating or who says something that's so mind-blowing that I need to reset it. I just move on to the next thing, the next topic, the next take, the next rant. I want to stop for a moment on Reggie Wayne, and I want to go back to that because I thought that was an amazing conversation. And as always, the best interviews are not interviews, they're conversations. That was an amazing conversation because this is a really thoughtful guy, extremely insightful, and he has a fascinating career. Like, I could talk for hours and hours and hours about the U and the guys that went to the U and the guys who played at the U and the brotherhood that he mentioned of the U and what it used to be like. Just alpha after alpha after alpha. Like, the fact that he roomed with Ed Reed and talked about that. And then when they get together, what they talk about. It's an endless source of fascination. You know, if you know college football, I don't care where you went to school or where your loyalties lie, you have to be fascinated by all things the U. There was nothing like it back in the day. Jimmy Johnson, Warren Sapp, Edge, Ed Reed, Reggie Wayne, just alpha after alpha after alpha. So that makes him a good guest. You know, whenever a guest says, hey, you mind? Can I tell you a story? Yes. Yes. Talk show hosts love it when guests tell stories. Do you mind if I tell you a story? Hell no, I don't mind if you tell me a story, man. Take as much time as you need. Tell as many stories as you want. So from that standpoint, he's fascinating. Reggie Wayne is also fascinating because he was able to tell a story about one of my favorite athletes ever. I know maybe you get tired of me saying it, that I don't play favorites. I don't, but it's kind of a lie. It really is. At this point, I'm going to acknowledge it. I don't play favorites. It's not a lie for me to say I'm objective, and I don't go fanboy with it, and I don't home. One of the reasons I wanted to turn this into a nationally syndicated product is so I didn't have to do local radio exclusively and just be that paid homer every single week. Like, Chargers rule, Raiders suck, good night now. I mean, I could have done that for 30 years. I chose not to. I had a bigger plan. And part of that was I wanted to talk about other things and not be a homer. So, no, I don't play favorites, and I don't have favorites. Yeah, it's kind of a lie. Because how do I explain Bob Sanders? Another reason why I love Reggie Wayne. Straight up. Bob Sanders was one of my favorite players. Bob Sanders was one of my favorite athletes ever. I thought he was the most unbelievable player. I could never, ever wrap my head around a guy being that size, having that kind of an impact on an NFL game. A guy that size, 5'8". And again, not small. Short, but not small. And I don't mean that in a negative sense at all. 5'8"'s not tall, right? So, but not small. Just short. And the fact that a guy who was 5'8 could impact NFL games single-handedly was never anything less than a source of fascination. And the game at that time, where you were allowed to play D and lay the lumber, this guy flying around and knocking suckers out, an NFL defensive MVP at 5'8, and mysterious, dude, so mysterious and so quiet. Anything that I hear about Bob Sanders to me is gold. So when he says he's got that story about Bob Sanders in practice and how this guy was all out, 100%, every single day, you know, tip drill, diving for balls, and everybody would say, like, hey, dude, relax. You know, what he's not saying is, too, was he laying the wood on his own teammates? Have to think so. He said, I'm telling you, I'm going to attack it that way because I'm going to see a scenario like that in a game. So I better practice like that. I've never met or spoken to a single guy that did not completely, unequivocally respect Bob Sanders. I miss Bob Sanders. Yo, Bob, wherever you are, bro. Big ups. And yeah, he was hurt a lot. But it's because of the way he played the game. All in. So I wanted to take a moment at the top of hour number two and reset the interview with Reggie Wayne. I thought that was an amazing conversation. 1-800-636-8686. Interesting matchups in week three in the NFL. In fact, let me remind you, coming up this weekend, Sunday, the NFL is on CBS, and there are a lot of marquee matchups on slate, including early action between the Chargers and the Chiefs. AFC West is really interesting right about now. And then you've got the Bengals and the Steelers. Later on, the Jets are going to Mile High to take on the Broncos, who are out quickly. Dolphins playing the Raiders. Are the Raiders for real? That's one of my topics on the NFL Today. It all begins at noon Eastern and 9 a.m. with the NFL Today. I'm going to make my first appearance of the season, and I'm going to do so in New York for the first time in a couple of seasons. Sunday, the NFL is on CBS. 1-800-636-8686. In reaction for you quickly, Jake in Buffalo tweets, Jim, and even if I win, I get the bleep beat out of me more. Sincerely, assembling IKEA furniture.
And even when I win, I get beat up worse.
He said it. Nick Diaz said, I'm fearful that Robbie Lawler is going to beat the bleep out of me. But I'm going to win. But even if I win, I get beat up worse.
How do you feel against Robbie Lawler? How do you feel? I feel like I'm going to get the out of me.
It's so amazing. He's saying that this week, everybody's saying, how do you feel about Robbie Lawler? How do you feel about that matchup? He said, how do I feel about it? I feel like I'm about to get the bleep beat out of me.
How do you feel against Robbie Lawler? How do you feel? I feel like I'm going to get the beat out of me.
But then he chases that by saying, I'm going to win and get the bleep beat out of me even worse.
And even when I win, I get beat up worse.
And even better, why am I even fighting this guy? Whoever came up with that idea is an idiot.
Whoever set this up is an idiot.
So why are you doing it? Because I have no choice. They drag me back in. Nick's the best. Whoever set this up is an idiot. Nick, that's the only thing I would disagree with. That's the only thing you said in that interview I disagree with. Whoever set that up is a genius. Because it brought you back. Because you're going to fight. Hey, Rome. I'm going to read this as it's written, okay? Rome. Robbie Lawler doesn't deserve to get his ass kicked by Nick Diaz. Conor McGregor doesn't deserve to have his beard ripped off by me either. Regards, Cal in Vegas.
Next time you fly to Las Vegas, I'll be waiting for you at the airport. Then I'm going to rip that beard off your face and make you eat it.
Of course, he starts the email or tweet by saying, Robbie Lawler. Yeah, I'm sure Robbie Lawler appreciates that, Eric in Colorado. Or Derek in Colorado. D-Rod in the 925. Hey, Jim. Nick Diaz spitting straight fire. T-Rob, dear Jim, what are we doing here? Signed, Nick Diaz.
What are we doing here?
Christopher S. Hansen, quote, Rome, whoever set this up is an idiot. Regards, Jules Dentist. Okay. Has not been a Jewel reset in a long time. I mean, who's picking these things out now? James Kelly? Whoever set this up is an idiot. Regards, Jules Dentist.
Whoever
2003 called.
Idiot.
They want their faxes back. Johnny in Texas somehow found his way in. Reggie Wayne needs some time on your pod. What incredible insight and introspection. The time at the U had to be the time of his life. Reggie would be an amazing pod guest. The whole point of the pod is to have long-form conversations. They need real estate. Some of these guys need room, man. They need real estate. They need a longer runway. Reggie Wayne is one of those guys. I'm really happy that I had what I had to get him on this show, but that's the kind of guy that needs time. He needs 45. He needs 60. There are so many amazing stories that he could have told if we had more time. So I never thought I would say this, but Johnny, I agree with you. Johnny in Texas, a miracle is about to happen. I'm going to say you're right. Johnny in Texas, you are right. Roll tape on that. Hit play and record on that, Johnny. I'll say it one more time. Johnny in Texas, you are right. Never thought that I would say that, ever. So Jacksonville, off to a bad start, not surprisingly. And Herb is doing really weird things. Also, not surprising. I will get to that story a little bit later on. Now would be a good time to win. Big Ben is already getting beat up. He's already had a long season. And I can't say that I'm surprised. They did not get him the help that he needed up front. I'll have that for you a little bit later on. But a quick telephone call. Why don't we do that? Jim Trotter is coming up next segment. Let's go to Los Angeles. Matt, in L.A., you're in. What's going on, Matt?
Romulus James, hey. First off, I have to agree with old Johnny Whiteface myself. That Reggie Wayne interview was epic. It's a lot like when you used to bring in Gilesy into the jungle. I mean, the guys give us, like, this picture inside the background that we would never have unless it was for the pimp in the box. So props. Jimmy, I also wanted to thank you personally for giving my man Dave Roberts some well-needed jungle karma, which hasn't kicked in yet, but it will because the Dodgers are going all the way. So, Jimmy, keep up the good work. Aloha means a hola. Roar Ira Craig stealing electricity in front of LADWP. Outro.
Matt in L.A. coming in short and sweet. All right, Matt. He's talking about a conversation I had with Dave Roberts yesterday. It's good to have him on. Always good to have him on. There are a couple of games back of the Giants, man. I'm telling you, when you have the talent the Dodgers have and you play at the clip that they've had, it almost doesn't even matter. Like, no matter how well they play, they continue to look up at the Giants. Giants are incredible. They just will not come back to the pack. This is going to come down to the last weekend, I think. So, the Dodgers are who we thought they were. The Giants are not who we thought they were at all. And I hate to say it, the Padres are not who we thought they were. Let me tell you about the Cards. The Cards, by the way, are on an all-time heater. If there weren't so much football to talk about right now, and MMA, I'd be talking about the Cards, honestly. They are on a heater. Cards are playing great baseball right now. I may still talk about the Cards later on. I thought about that when the day started. But just know this. I'm not talking about them instead of Herb. I'd rather talk about how crappy Jacksonville is than how good the St. Louis Cardinals are. Hey, Rome, great. Way to keep it positive. I try. I want to. I mean, I'd love to give you nice radio every single day. But when people do dumb things, it's my job to point out how dumb it is. And if I don't do that, I'm not doing my job. You see me working. Matt and L.A. came in, so we did have a conversation with Dave Roberts yesterday. How about their killer starting four in their rotation? And still looking up at the Giants. We're talking Bills football also. Micah Hyde will be joining me at 11:40. I mentioned an appearance on the NFL Today on CBS. I've got my topics. I mentioned yesterday one of my topics, the Raiders. The Raiders are undefeated. The Raiders are 2-0. Of course, the Raiders were 2-0 last year. We know how that ended. Is it different this time around? I'm going to save my thoughts for you until Sunday. Is it different or is it the same old Raiders? Are they going to make it to the postseason this year? Or are they going to take a victory lap in the middle of the year? After a regular season game. We'll see. When we come back, we'll talk some NFL with a great storyteller and reporter, Jim Trotter. And Micah Hyde coming up in the third hour. So Dell's semi-annual sale is the perfect opportunity for a significant business upgrade. You can save up to 45% on Dell computers built for business with Windows 10 Pro. And you can enjoy special pricing on Dell docks, monitors, servers, and more. all with easy financing options right through Dell Financial Services. Succeed anywhere with Windows 10 Pro. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor today and find the right tech for your business with fast and free shipping. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL, 877-ASK-D-E-L-L.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
One change in our programming, Micah Hyde, who was going to appear in hour number three, is no longer going to appear in hour number three. He got called into a meeting, so we will try and reset that for you sometime soon. Maybe tomorrow. In fact, they're already in for tomorrow. I'll tell you who's in right now. A reporter and a storyteller for NFL Media. He is a Hall of Fame voter. He is the author of Junior Seau, The Life and Death of a Football Icon. He is a Peloton legend. He is an adjunct professor at San Diego State. Goes without saying, very good friend of ours, too. Jim Trotter is my guest. Jim, what's going on? How are you?
Romy, I think I'm a Peloton legend in my own mind, man.
No, you're not, dude. You're a legend in my mind as well. I know, because I spent a lot of time on that thing, so I know you are a legend. Jim, it's really good to have you on. I want to ask you, there's so much football to talk about, but something we have not talked about, academics. You are an adjunct professor at San Diego State. What has that experience been like so far?
It's been amazing. You know, I was approached by their new director, relatively new director, about doing it, and I had never taught before, and I thought that it was an opportunity to really have an impact on the next generation of sports journalists coming up and to kind of impart anything that I've learned that potentially could help them, you know, as they embark on this journey. And it's been fun. I tell them, you know, it's funny, after the first class, they were like, man, we're really excited that you're here. And my attitude was, I'm more excited to be here simply because I think sometimes when you do this for so long, I don't want to say you get on cruise control, but you can get away from the excitement of what got you into it. And so to be around these young people and to see the enthusiasm that they have, it sort of reinvigorates me.
100%. I absolutely understand what you're saying. One more thought about that before we move on. I mean, if being taught by you were not good enough, the students in your class were treated to a guest appearance from the legend himself, Raymond Ritter. Now, Jim, I've been hyping Ray on this show for as long as I can remember because he is just so good at what he does. What was it like having Ray in the house and having him talk to the students?
Amazing, to sum it up in one word. You know, what I did is that the first week of class, I asked each of the students to identify one person that they would want to come in and lecture about the business and what they can expect as they get in the business. And not surprisingly, they came up with a lot of broadcast folks, you know, who are on screen and that sort of thing. And me personally, I said, I want them to understand this job, not just from our perspective in terms of what we go through, but the perspective of the team and the players in terms of what they expect from the media and how to build relationships with those teams and players. And so obviously, as you just said, Ray is one of the all-time greats. I've known him from back when I used to cover the NBA, and he was an assistant with the Lakers and now being the senior VP of communications for the Warriors. And he came in and he just imparted, you know, his wisdom in terms of what he has seen from reporters over his time working with them and the qualities and traits that he believes can help make journalists successful in terms of doing their job on a day-to-day basis. So it was really fantastic. And, you know, we're indebted to him for giving his time coming in and talking to them.
Agreed. I'm so glad you brought him in. I love Ray. Ray is such a pro. He is one of the best to ever do it. I mean, literally a legend. We're talking to Jim Trotter. So, Jim, let's talk some football for a minute. You have a great piece up on NFL.com about the Dallas Cowboys defense and how they showed up in week two in that win over the Chargers. I mean, going into that, I mean, the defense has been maligned enough as it is, and they were banged up. What were your expectations for that defense that day?
I mean, truthfully, they weren't very high. And when you talk about a unit that was historically bad last year, a unit that gave up 31 in the season opener, a unit that is without both starting defensive ends. And not only that, but you don't find out until midweek that you're going to be without both defensive ends in terms of DeMarcus Lawrence breaking a foot. So now you've got to make a sudden switch, and you take a rookie linebacker who is, I don't want to say struggling, but he's going through the process of learning to play linebacker in the NFL, and you say, we're going to put you a defensive end, you know, a position you haven't played since high school. And Micah Parsons goes out and just plays phenomenally. And so they're facing an offense that has a quarterback who was the offensive rookie of the year last year, a receiving core that's one of the deepest in the NFL, you know, a unit, an offense that is very highly regarded. And they allow that unit to drive to the Dallas 33-yard line or closer on each of its seven possessions, and yet they give up only one touchdown. I just thought it was a phenomenal performance by them and by Dan Quinn, their defensive coordinator, to get them all up and ready to play.
Me too. I did not see that coming. I never would have thought they could have played as well as they did, given who they are, what they have, and then what they were missing. Jim Trotter is joining us. Jim, you also have a piece up on Matthew Stafford, and, you know, Stafford's made a point that he wanted to play in games that matter. I'm curious, Jim, how do you think he's going to respond to the pressure then that comes with playing in big games week in and week out for a team that has Super Bowl aspirations?
I think he's going to be fine. You know, sometimes, Jim, these guys, we I don't want to say we overlook, you know, their greatness or their ability when they play on bad teams. But I don't think Stafford has ever fully gotten the due of just how talented he really is. And I think the fact that his abilities are now married with, you know, Sean McVay's beautiful mind, if you will, when it comes to play design and play calling, I think it's phenomenal to watch these two. And I believe that they're only going to get better as the season goes on. We know that one of the reasons for bringing in Stafford is that the Rams wanted to be able to push the ball down the field more. They wanted more air yards as it relates to that. Well, I mean, he's tied for first in the league already with touchdown or with completions of 40 or more yards. So they're getting what they want from him. And the other thing, Jim, when you talk to teammates, you know, about Stafford's presence and what it means, you can see that he is like that rising tide that kind of lifts all emotions and expectations within that locker room. I mean, the way Jalen Ramsey spoke about him after week one was just, I don't want to say he was in awe, but you could tell that he was just so appreciative to have Stafford there and felt that he was going to go and help take them to where they want to go, saying that it was, you know, one of the best, it should go down as one of the best debuts in NFL history. That's why I'm fascinated by this game on Sunday. I think it's going to be a tremendous matchup. And for them to get to play a defense as talented as what Tampa has, it's going to be a chess match there between Todd Bowles and Sean McVay, and it's going to be fun to watch and see what happens.
I love Stafford. I love him in that offense. I love him making that move to Southern California. You mentioned the game itself, Jim. Jim Trotter, my guest. What about that matchup? Who do you like?
Man, it's so tough. Tampa's playing so well right now. If I'm put on the spot and have to choose one, I think I would go with Tampa right now from the standpoint that they have gone through the process of what the Rams are going through now in terms of an elite player quarterback coming in, learning a new system, and also adjustments on the defensive side of the ball, where now you have Raheem Morris calling that defense as opposed to Brandon Staley, who's now the head coach of the Chargers. Well, the Bucs have gone through all of that. So now they have the growing pains, if you will, are out of the way. And what we're seeing from them early on this season is that they're picking up right where they left off. You know, with Tom leading the league in touchdown passes right now, it's tied for the second most in NFL history over the first 2 weeks of a season. They're just playing at a phenomenal level in terms of efficiency and production right now. So I think that they are farther along than where the Rams are. But what's interesting about this game, Jim, is that the last two times there has been a preview of the NFC Championship game, meaning those clubs met during the regular season, the team that won in the regular season also won in the postseason in the NFC Championship game. So if we really think that this is a preview, potential preview of the NFC final, then history says the winner of this game could be positioning itself well to advance to the Super Bowl.
So that in and of itself makes it a critical Week 3 matchup. I would love to refute the argument that you just made, but I can't. I'm trying to make an argument for the Rams. I'm going to keep trying to make an argument for them, but you're right. I mean, Tampa's already been through this. They're farther along. They've already endured and overcome what the Rams are dealing with right now, but still kind of a coin flip. Jim, before you go, I want to talk to you about something you and I have talked about in the past. Eric Bieniemy's name has come up in regards to the USC job. I've got a couple of questions about that, but why don't we start here? What is your sense as to his level of interest in that job? Because we know he wants a pro job. How open would he be to the USC job?
I think there's definite interest on the part if USC has interest in him. Look, Eric, you know, played high school ball in Southern California. He has ties to the area. He previously coached at UCLA. And look, USC is one of those marquee programs. You know, regardless of the struggles it may have had recently, it's still regarded as one of the blue blood programs. So I think there would definitely be interest on Eric's part if SC were to have that same interest. Having said that, Jim, look, the reality is it's shameful that he would have to even consider going to college, considering everything he has done at the NFL level. You know, he has earned an opportunity to have a shot to be a head coach in the NFL. His resume speaks for itself. The quality of his work speaks for itself. The way his players speak about him says that he is ready and deserves that opportunity. It's just unfortunate that we're at a point in the NFL where he is not getting that opportunity. And I'll say this to you too, Jim. I think Eric is a symptom of a much bigger problem when it comes to the NFL. Look, I like to say that he's the tree and we're missing the forest, because the NFL has an issue right now as it relates to the promotion of blacks into decision-making positions, not only on the field, but off the field. You know, you can look at the league office among the top dozen or so executives there. There are only two blacks, as I recall. And even when you look at our media news group, you know, we have a league where the player population is 70% black. And there isn't one black person involved in the decision-making process of how these men are covered on a daily basis. So this is not just an on-field problem in the NFL. It's something that has to be addressed off the field as well.
I think you're right. I agree with everything you just said. What about one more thought? How about Raheem Morris? I mean, I love what he has done since being a head coach back in the day. What about him? Is he going to get another shot?
I think he should. You know, particularly, I thought he should have been in line for the Atlanta job, considering how that club played after he took over last year. Raheem was one of those young guys who came in, and maybe he got his chance too early in terms of there was a lot to learn. He's a young guy, but he has grown and he has matured, and I think he is ready for that next opportunity. And I do believe that if the Rams are able to put together a run and, let's say, go to the Super Bowl, that he will be in the running for a head coaching job, as he should be. We know on average since 2000, seven head coaching positions become available each year, which is an indictment of the hiring process in and of itself. But that being said, if there's, let's say, seven openings this year, in my opinion, Raheem Morris definitely should be one of those guys who are included. And let me say this, one of the things that really bothers me right now is the media's role in all of this, because in the first 2 weeks, I have heard the national broadcasters who are doing the Cowboys games each say that Kellen Moore is going to be a head coach in the NFL next year. Not should be, but is going to be, okay? And so from my standpoint, you do not hear that when you see a broadcast of the Chiefs as it relates to Eric Bieniemy. You do not hear that when you watch a Tampa Bay broadcast of the Bucs, and they don't say that about Byron Leftwich, who's the offensive coordinator there. And that's why I think the media has to look at itself also in this process and say, what role are we playing and how are we contributing to what's going on right now?
Extremely well said. He is a reporter and a storyteller for NFL Media. He is a Hall of Fame voter. He is an author of Junior Seau, The Life and Death of a Football Icon. He is a professor at San Diego State now and a very, very good friend of ours. Jim, I appreciate you. Great to have you back. Always good to talk to you. Appreciate your thoughts and insight on all these things. And I know you and I will chop it up again soon, Jim.
I appreciate it as always, Roman.
You're the best. Jim Trotter, so good. Always good. And getting better, by the way. Even at this point in his career, man, Jim Trotter, to me, he just keeps getting better and better at his job, his craft. And I love that he's a professor, an adjunct professor at San Diego State. So he has an opportunity to talk to some of the young journos And what I like best of all, one of the first people he brought in, Ray freaking Ritter. Why do you think I always talk about Raymond Ritter? Why do you think that I always talk about the executive slash legend that is Ray Ritter? You probably think that's just me. Yeah, really? Because Jim Trotter is an adjunct professor at San Diego State, and that's one of the first people he brought in. And when he asked his students, who do you want me to bring in? They came up with a list of talking heads that you see on TV or you see on a screen. And Jim said, you know what? I can do that. I will do that. But I'm going to bring you a legend, Raymond Ritter.
I hadn't really sort of extrapolated it that way.
That's Ray Ratto. So who do you think's running the board today? Anybody's guess. And by the way, Ray Ratto is a legend also. A different sort of legend. Ray Ratto, Ray Ritter, both R-squared, both icons. When we return, we're working on Micah Hyde, but he's going to be tomorrow.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Dell's semi-annual sale for business has arrived. You can save up to 45% on Dell computers with Windows 10 Pro. Enjoy specials on Dell docks, monitors, and servers. Succeed anywhere with Windows 10 Pro. So call 877-AS-DELL, 877-AS-DELL, and speak with a Dell Technologies advisor, 877-ASK-DELL. All right, so let me reset you. We had a couple of interviews. That was Jim Trotter. And we still have Vincent Goodwill coming up later on. We had Reggie Wayne, who I thought was tremendous. I've got thoughts on Urban Meyer and the conversation he had with Vic Fangio on the field prior to that butt-kicking that Denver dropped on them. Broncos, one of those teams you might ask yourself, are they for real? Maybe. Some reaction for you. Jesse in El Paso, Esquire, quote, Jim, who is the idiot that set this up?
Whoever set this up is an idiot.
Jim, who is the idiot that set this up? Signed, clones listening to Matt's phone call.
Whoever set this up is an idiot.
At Planet Wilson 1, who's the idiot who set this up? Regards, the dude who said Johnny in Texas was right.
Whoever set this up is an idiot.
Jaime, like you, I am an expert at decoding what athletes are really saying when they give interviews. In this case, here is what that Diaz guy was trying to say, whichever one it was. I'm going to stop you right there. If you can't make a distinction between Nick and Nate, and you're going to preface your take by saying that Diaz guy, whichever one he was, then I know it's not going to be a good take because you don't know what the hell you're talking about. If you can't distinguish between those two bros, Jaime, and if it starts Jaime, then we know it's from Stephen S.A. Jaime, like you, I'm an expert at decoding what athletes are really saying when they give interviews. In this case, here's what that Diaz guy was trying to say, whichever one it was. Number one, I'm only fighting now because I'm broke. Not true. Nick and Nate both have other businesses, other revenue streams, other sources of income. I'm going to say, and I don't know for sure, I'm not privy to his tax information, he's not coming back because he's broke. He hasn't fought in 6 years. Number two, I only want to fight Usman because it would have meant more money, which I desperately need. I don't think that's the case either. Number three, I'm going to get my brains beat in, so give me a break.
How do you feel against Robbie Lawler? How do you feel? I feel like I'm going to get the out of me.
He owned that himself. He said it himself. So, Steve, did you go back to that garage of yours, look at your eight cars and your country estate, and remind yourself how well you're doing and how bad that take was? I'm not saying your takes are bad. I'm saying that's a bad take right there. Rome, Nick Diaz says he hates fighting. I hated my job, too, but I fixed that. Regards, Dasmati. Eric in Colorado Springs. I can't speak for Dasmati, but I don't think he was coming from a place of hate. I don't think he left because he hated this. I think he left because he loved Parks and Recs. Or Parks and Rec. I don't know. Why he liked that better than he liked this, I don't know. You'd have to ask him. How about this one? Sir Rome, Duke of Sherman Oaks. I find MMA to be unsettlingly violent and gratuitous. When I want to have a duel, I prefer to do it on the croquet court. Signed, Beauregard in Pacific Palisades. He addressed that to the Duke of Sherman Oaks, Sir Rome. All right, first of all, I appreciate that, Beauregard. I no longer rep Sherman Oaks. There was a time when I did. I played at Sherman Oaks Little League. I used to hang out in Sherman Oaks. I worked in a building in Sherman Oaks for a number of years. My man Craig Kitchen and I worked in Sherman Oaks together. James Kelly probably spent some time in Sherman Oaks. 818. So he finds MMA to be violent and gratuitous, and he prefers the croquet court. Beauregard. Geoff, quote, looking forward to your Frank Gore take. We have been looking for him. Regards AARP, Medicare, and required minimum distributions from your 401k. Send him in. Keep him coming. Keep them coming. They need this guy, all right? He could help them. If I'm the Niners, I call Frank Gore. Stucknut says, Jim, I'm surprised that Big Head didn't play some Ray Lewis sound bites. Does he have any Ray Romano or Liotta?
It's two for me.
He's talking it's about when I asked Jim Trotter about Raymond Ritter. And then the unnamed member of the XR4TI fired a sound drop from Ray Ratto. Raymond Ritter and Ray Ratto are both legends. They're not the same guy. Now, I've already gotten into why we have anonymous members this week of the XR4TI. I'm not giving up who that was, but in terms of a process of elimination, you could probably guess. Steven Morales is in. Jim, Ray Ritter, Ray Ratto, Hockey Horn, Train Horn, who cares? Signed, Ritt. Might be. Might not be. Again, you know who works
really
here, right?
I hadn't sort of extrapolated it that way, but...
If you were to extrapolate this and do the math... It's kind of assumed who it's not. We know who would not make that mistake. All right, so start right there.
Dude, no.
Now, who's left? Who could it be? It could be Ritt. It could be the Big Head.
Winthrop.
Big Head does not come around much, usually only on Friday. Could be Cindy. I could be running my own board. Steve Morales tweets, Jim, or actually, I read the tweet, but he wore it, Big Head Bets, giving us the over-under on how much Ritt will mess up when he covers for Alvin. We don't know. And by the way, Alvin's not perfect. Believe it or not, he's made a mistake or two. How do you know it wasn't Alvin that fired the wrong drop? All right, something else I'm going to give up right now. We normally have the Jim Rohn podcast on Wednesdays. Yesterday was Wednesday. We didn't have one.
That is ridiculous.
Today is Thursday. We still don't have one.
That is ridiculous.
Tomorrow's Friday. We don't have one, or do we?
That is ridiculous.
Here's what I'm going to do. The Jim Rohn podcast, it usually drops right on time every single Wednesday. Not this week. Just one of those deals. So because we have one of these deals, rather than trip, I'm going to see an opportunity within. The opportunity I have is as follows. I'm going to take the Friday Big Head Bet segment with James Kelly. Take it off of the daily, move it over to the pod, and extend it. How you like that, clones? So if you want Big Head Bets going into the weekend and as soon as he finds out we're doing this, he's going to be like, hey, boss, you know this week is ass when it comes to games, right? You know it's an ass kicker. Yeah, I know, JK. If you want Big Head Bets, you're not going to find it here tomorrow. You have to go to the podcast to find it. But the good news is, I'm going to extend it. If the Big Head normally comes in with his thoughts on 3 or 4 games, I'm going to see if I can get him to share his thoughts on lots of games, more games. So that's what we're doing with the Jim Rome podcast this week. It didn't drop in its normal spot, and it's not going to be its normal ep. It's going to be an extended version of Big Head Bets. So don't tune in here tomorrow looking for it. Wait for the pod to drop. We're going to do it after the show, and it's going to be a lengthier, extended version. And it's going to be awesome.
Ass.
Now you know. 2 hours down, hour number 3, straight ahead. Don't go anywhere.